if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen,
country, and video games. BRB UK.
Worse teeth,
better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy, hoy, and may I just say, it's episode 343. That's a Halo reference, and it's BRB UK. Hello, I'm Dan, one of your hosts. The other one's Coleman. Say hello, Coleman.
Hi, Lo.
Would you like... That was terrible.
Oh.
That was actually bad.
I liked it.
Really? Did you though? Or did you just like it because you said it?
I mean, should we just do more monk chanting for Halo reference?
We could do. Okay. Welcome to the Benedictine Monk edition of PRP UK. We're Timless this week, which is why we're clearly having to pad the show.
When we go without Tim, we go a little bit stir-crazy.
Basically, both of our brains protectively put themselves in comas because we know we're about to lose 3 hours of our life to talking about menus.
That's it. When all the synapses are all firing on all cylinders, it's a bit hard to figure out what to do with all this extra energy in the brain.
Yeah.
I'm so alive.
Are you? Really? I've had a moderately tedious day at work. I wouldn't say I feel so alive. I say I feel about, eh.
Well, yeah. Yeah, work's work.
Yeah, so what have you been doing this week, sir?
I went to go see Kevin Smith yesterday.
Did you? Oh, of course you did. He was podcasting, wasn't he?
Yeah, he'd Hollywood Babylon. Him and Ralph Garman went to the O2 Indigo for that one, which was a bit upsetting because it was originally at Hammersmith Apollo, which is closer to me, and then they moved venue, and I had tickets that were pretty close to the front, and then I ended up with tickets on a balcony, which I got very angry with, and sat in front of a man who sounded a lot like a goat whenever he yelled out, which was many times.
Like that, basically.
For the purpose of podcasts in which I try not to swear on, I won't repeat exactly what he said, but say he was saying, yeah, in support, he would go, yeah! And he would do that every time. So if anyone chanted anything, he would kind of extend over them. And it was irritating.
He sounds great.
Fun night, though. Hollywood Babylon. One of my favourites. Go check that out.
Well, good for you. So that's... But what things didn't you do?
Didn't I do? Didn't commit murder.
Well done, you. That is good.
Yeah. Didn't stalk anyone.
Well done. I mean, that sounds a bit like what I do for, you know, because for some reason my missus decides that she's going to give up chocolate for Lent every year. And every year I give up something that I've never done in the first place. So this year, for Lent, I gave up crack cocaine.
This year, I have given up cheating on my wife with another YouTuber and then hemorrhaging 1 million subscribers. Don't know why I thought of that. Top of my head.
Yeah, that's topical.
I'm giving up assaulting people in a hotel lobby.
Steady.
I'm giving up losing discs of porn in a medieval time.
Are you really stopping that, though? You've got no more discs to lose. You just stream that shizzle.
That's it. We're all streaming age now.
I know, right?
Anywho.
PlayStation State of Play.
Yes.
PlayStation, if you will. This thing was Nintendo Direct levels of short.
Yeah. It was. So the first PlayStation, the State of Play, we said, you know, it was, me and Tim seemed to like it more than yourself, Dan. There was a lot of VR in it. It was quite long, and it was a nice little introduction to the concept of State of Play. This one, not so much. A very short thing going on. It happened the night we were recording, so I stopped editing to watch this and then went back to editing. I was quite amazed. I thought I was sort of taking like 40 minutes out of editing to come back to it. It's like, oh, that was like, what, 6-7 minutes? That was short. So,
damn it.
But yeah, second State of Play, a little bit underwhelming in comparison to the previous one, I thought. They kind of just had the couple of big things to go on, and the big things weren't really that big, I thought.
Well, I mean, I think they did spend a whole fifth of the... of the presentation on a Monster Hunter expansion.
Yes.
Which I know a lot of people love their Munter hunting.
Yes.
But it's not really that revolutionary, is it, really? I mean, it looks nice, it looks fun, and if you like your mun hunting.
If you're into Monster Hunter and, you know, because there are people that religiously play that game, adding an entire new area and new giant monsters and evolutions to the, you know, adaptations to the previous monsters, all that stuff must be absolutely amazing. But for those of us that kind of played it quite hardcore for a little bit, but dropped off much quicker than you'd expect the more hardcore players to do. So yeah, it's not really that impressive for us. I looked at it and went, oh, that's really cool. I'm never going to play this.
Do you know what I want to do though?
What?
I want to be a marmot.
Do you now?
I want to be a marmot.
I mean, either you love or you hate them, really.
I want to be a crab troubling marmot. To actually indulge that fancy that I've had since the age of being a very young boy. Away, the survival series, it was also announced. I think it was a marmot, either that or a honey badger. I don't know which, but it was a small rodent that looked pretty fucking badass and could fly and stand on twigs. It was amazing.
Way the survival series. We got a release date for Medieval HD Remake, which the first time we saw that, I thought that looked more impressive than the version that was shown in this state of play.
Yeah, it seems to have regressed a bit, hasn't it?
Initially, I saw that and went, that is just a remake of the game slapped on the original game to make it all 4K and lovely. And I thought it was remade from the ground up because it looked like it. Looking at this one, I was like, yeah, I could see that. That's how the PlayStation looks in my mind, you know?
And other stuff included Predator Hunting Grounds, which I'm assuming is a 4v1 co-op PvP thing.
Yes, I work with a guy who's probably the world's biggest Predator fan, and he absolutely lost it at this news. But my explanation to him might have knocked the wind out of his sails, so I went, you remember Evolve?
Yeah.
Evolve with the Predator.
And wasn't there a Friday... Do I mean Friday the 13th?
Yeah, there was a Friday the 13th game came out. I think it officially came out like 2 years ago or a year ago. I can't remember, but it'd been in the works for a while.
Let's be honest here. Not a dissimilar mechanic to this, apart from the fact that, obviously, he doesn't go transparent.
Hmm.
But yeah, it's like, all right, what other 80s movie franchise can we resurrect and have...
Well, there's
slap some co-op PvP in. But let's just do that.
What was that other game? There's another one with a similar mechanic where you're four survivors and you're up against monsters, and they're like legally different looking monsters. But then eventually,
Care Bears, the movie, the game.
No, I think it's like Dead by Dawn or something like that.
Yeah.
And then that game, I think it's had a Switch release as well. That one, they put in loads of DLC baddies that were. I think you have like Freddy Krueger in that game. So it's a trend that we're seeing more now, taking an old 80s movie and sticking the bad guy in a survival game.
Yeah, well, hey, why not? You know, what other ones would be ripe for that treatment? What other ones could we have?
Well, I don't know, if you went 90s...
Flight of the Navigator. Yeah, we could do that.
Mac and Me.
What else could we have? E.T., yes, that, E.T.,
Dan, what's ET short for?
Extra tripe?
No, it's got little legs, innit?
Really?
Yeah. I like that one.
Really?
Shut up. I like really? That. That's my favourite joke.
Is it really?
Yes.
And surprisingly, I think, well, this was surprising for no other reason than it actually appears to be going somewhere, is the Final Fantasy VII Remake trailer.
Yeah, and
which I think is fair to say divided opinion a little bit.
Well, I mean, it looks all right. Well, it looks really good, but the gameplay itself, so it's like the gameplay of 15 with the the visual style. Oh, sorry, with the story of 7, which I like the idea of, but I don't really like the fighting in 15. I would prefer a more straight-laced reboot or rehash of it or whatever. But a lot of people thought this is going to be a £40, you know, single game because they were talking about the episodic thing. That kind of seemed to have died out. There's now speculation that it is the episodic thing again that wasn't covered in the trailer that we saw. But it looked good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it does look... more to come to E3 by the looks of things. And it's going to be interesting if they do go the episodic route. It's going to be, I think... How much is each episode going to cost you is going to be the interesting thing.
Yeah. I mean, if they have a conclusive game plan for the episodes to come out, I'll be more interested. But my experience with episodic games, you could really get into the first one, finish it, and then not see the next one in like another year and a half. And
which kind of brings me on to this question. Do we reckon it's for PS4 or PS5?
That is a very good question.
There was a PS4 logo at the end of the trailer in its state of play, fair enough. But realistically...
Dual release.
Dual release, you reckon?
Dual release, I reckon.
Dual release. All right.
Well, I mean, because it wasn't that long ago we announced that they scrapped the initial attempt of this, the trailers we've seen previously, and put an entirely new studio on making this game. So we don't know. I mean, maybe some of the stuff was salvaged, but we're not sure. Did we talk Riverbound?
No, because Riverbond. Yeah, because I think this looks surprisingly fun and awesome.
Yes.
I'm quite looking forward to this. This, is, I think, was one of the things that was a bit of a pleasant surprise. It's kind of an isometric co-op slash 'em up, I think, is the way to do it, with quite interactive environments, by the looks of things.
Yeah, and it does that kind of Smash Brother roster thing where it takes loads and loads of characters from different games, but it does it the way I like it, where it's loads of indie characters.
It's watermelons are involved, so I'm going to say. But there's characters from, there's Bastion in there as well, isn't there? Here we've got Planet Robot of Earth, Demelza, Lovamoo, Juan Aguajante, Bastion the Kids. So there's so many. There's like Bloody Shovel Knight in there.
Shovel Knight!
And bullets from Enter the Gungeon.
I met the bullet at EGX Res. It's a lot bigger in real life.
Did you bite the bullet?
I did not. Hugged him, though.
Did you?
Yes.
Slightly less likely to get you a restraining order, so probably not a bad shout.
Yeah.
So that was the state of play.
It was
a state of play. But some quite exciting stuff. I think they're going to be a slightly weird year for the PS4, I think, because undoubtedly Sony's getting ready to get the PS5 off the ground, and it's that awkward bit of a console's life cycle where not a lot of mega new exciting things come out. So it'll be interesting to see how the year pans out. But which is why I do wonder if Final Fantasy VII is going to end up being PS5 rather than PS4. But
yeah, well, like I say, I think we're going to be looking at a lot of stuff that we're showing off that's advertised for this generation of console that actually becomes a dual release. Or
I'm calling it Final Fantasy VII is the new Last Guardian.
So we see it 2 years before the PlayStation 5's over.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
Exactly.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to playing that in 2020. Well, it was in 1997, so if they release it in 2027, then that's 30th anniversary edition.
Hmm. But as you say, because E3's around the corner, I think 26 days away from today, as we're recording.
Why not?
And we're used to, it's less game news and more reveal. Lesser game release title trailers and Ubisoft leaking stuff.
Yeah, a little bit.
There was a leak last week. We didn't cover it because they were going to announce the new Tom Clancy Ghost Recon game the night we were recording. So it would have been old news by the time it happened. But also there was a leak for Splinter Cell, but it turned out it was Ubisoft trolling us all by putting out a joke tweet. So there you go. But as I said, there was a reveal for Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Breakpoint, the follow-up to Wildlands.
Yep, and as far as I can tell, is the bastard love child of the previous Ghost Recon games and The Division and Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, I mean, did you try Wildlands at all?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, glitchy as all hell when it came out, but then after they patched the holy heck out of the game, it was...
And playing it with mates... Absolutely
fun.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
loved it.
Super deep fun.
Yeah. Played a lot of the closed, like, alpha, beta, and then open beta with friends. And that was really, really fun, even though it was broken. But it told me, I want to play this game in the future. I don't want to buy this game on release. And did go back to it, had a lot of fun, especially when they patched in the Predator. So you could go in the jungles and hunt the Predator and get sweet loot for doing so. What they're doing this time, they've updated Wildlands again, but it's to advertise Breakpoint, the new game. So I think they've added the character of Cold E. Walker, who is John Berthnall's character, who plays the Punisher and used to do The Walking Dead. So he's been brought into Wildlands, and then that story is going to carry on over into Breakpoint as well. So it's a nice little branching narrative.
Yeah, and like most things, apparently it's going to end up on the Epic Store.
Yes, I did hear that. Epic Store instead of
Steam.
But
presumably still going to be on Ubisoft's platform as well, I would imagine.
Oh, I'd imagine so, yeah. Uplay, they're not gonna throw that one out.
I don't know. all bets are off with the Epic Store at the moment. Because, I think it was another couple of indie studios did an about face with their Kickstarter stuff as well, I think, and have just, rather than release Steam keys, they've gone wholesale onto the Epic Games platform, which makes me think Epic are just waving an absolute bucket of money at anybody who looks like they might release a video game in the next couple of years.
Did you, or what did you think of the, did you watch the full gameplay breakdown thing? The
no, I didn't have a chance
video?
To.
See, it was a, if you've played Wildlands and you know what to expect, it's a third person shooter, a lot of the same mechanics have nipped over, but they were showing it in the, I mean, I'm assuming that's John Berthnell that was doing the voice of the character you're watching play. But yeah, that man is a, I don't imagine him to be a very grumpy man in real life because he outgruffs gruff voices.
Well, he looks like no one told him that Medal of Honor had been released already, to be fair.
But yeah, it's very dark and it's got a jungle setting and
with a bit of technological forerunner race shenanigans going on. There's this, isn't there, this golem which actually is the seed of artificial intelligence, and there's some quite deep Ubisoft rabbit hole tinfoil hat stuff going on.
Yeah, but that's what they do. They'll take they kind of go the Hideo Kojima route, but slightly lesser.
I really want to say if Hideo Kojima and Ubisoft could collaborate on something, I just think it'd be the most insane thing ever. It'd be great.
Well, that's it. They're too. I mean, the studio the same as the creator. They like to do things where they take things in the modern day and then just kind of make the technology super fantastical, but put it in the modern day world, or just a couple of years ahead and stuff. And it's meant to be this idea of, huh, yeah, this could totally happen. But then when you see it in effect, you're like, what? What are you basing this on? But yeah, Hideo Kojima, he focuses on the much further future, and he loves to make everyone poop themselves at times. But Ubisoft, they're more grounded in the Tom Clancy mythos of things. So, yeah, I would love to see Hideo Kojima's Assassin's Creed, yeah, for instance.
Yeah, that would be really good.
You think the Apple of Eden's a dumb plot? You wait to see when he's got a smoking monkey in there.
That'd be amazing. I kind of really want that to be a thing now. Mm. You're welcome, Ubisoft. You're welcome.
Yes, yes.
But the most exciting thing this week, are we all done on the breakpoint?
Yeah, I was just going to say it's coming out on the 4th of October, PC, Xbox One, and PS4. More than anything, it's convinced me to play more Wildlands and try finish off that story rather than, oh my God, I can't wait for this game.
Yeah, it might actually. I might give Wildlands a little bit of a second look, actually, since there's a bit of a lull in things for at least the next couple of weeks. So yes. I might have a little look at that. Who knows? Good. Although The Division 2 has just released its first raid by the looks of things. But I think I'm underpowered, and apparently the latest patch of The Division 3 title update 3 for The Division 2 apparently has not gone down well. So,
oh, dear.
Let's
I'm still
see.
Zombo hunting, so you know I'm good.
Yeah, Zombo.
Mario. But you wanted to talk about the more exciting aspects of this week.
Yes. This just made me happy.
We had PlayStation Direct, and then we got the real one.
Yeah, we got Super Mario Maker 2 Nintendo Direct is what we got.
This is
and
brilliant.
My goodness, this looks like it's going to be so awesome. Although, whether or not I actually have the patience to make my own levels, I'm not entirely sure.
This brings something along with, I mean, the Super Mario Maker 2, as you'd probably imagine, is a lot of the same mechanics as Super Mario Maker, because that was a fantastic game, and don't break it if don't fix it if you haven't broken it. But they've added in co-op play and co-op building as well, which is weird. And then a load of improvements and stuff. But one of the things that I'm really excited about is they've added in a story mode. So in the previous game, you could play 100 levels and you could set it to do a mix of the levels that the creators for the game have made, and then some like pulled off the internet and all these different things. But there is an actual story mode to get you used to the mechanics of the game and different ways to play the game and all this kind of stuff.
Which I think is really good, because essentially what it is, you're tasked with rebuilding Peach's castle, I think, isn't it? And I think the whole purpose is to walk you through levels that show you how the different ways in which these things can be used, and just the toolbox that you've got at your disposal. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that have been added into Mario Maker 1. I think it's going to be awesome, and I really like the idea of a versus platforming romp. I just think that looks amazing.
Yeah, and one of the things that, like, it's excited me that I get to play, but not so much that I will probably build, is that they've added in Super Mario 3D Land.
Yes.
Which, it simultaneously blown my mind and got me very excited, but at the same time, like, yeah, I'm not building any of that. That looks too complicated.
Yeah, although it's, I think one of the sad things is that Mario made that kind of Super Mario 3D world, or whatever combination of those words in some order happen. 3D Mario Super World. I don't know. That has a completely different and unique tile set, whereas all the others, I think there's obviously original Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario 3, and Super Mario World. You can share all the tile sets and stuff. So, I'm really looking forward to this. And it has, like, you can set day and night on the levels as well, and things behave completely differently at night time. You'll have like a zombie mushroom that wants to kill you. Oh, so good.
But the other thing as well, like, I'm a big fan of the Angry Sun, which made me laugh hysterically because me and my girlfriend were just making jokes about the Angry Sun days ago, and then it appeared in this video. So yeah, the Angry Sun's there, which is really cool, but they added in, because you say about the nighttime mode that changes the levels and stuff, Angry Sun becomes Happy Moon. So whereas Angry Sun will jump down and try to kill you, Happy Moon will dive down, and if you touch him, he'll take out all the enemies on the stage, on the screen. That looks really cool.
It does look so much fun.
And I love the idea
really,
as well.
It really, really does look amazing.
You could, like, it's a very simple little change as well, but the idea of putting in scroll block walls, so mm-hmm. you can have hidden levels, which the example they use is like the first warp pipe hole in the first game. That's, yeah, just a nice little touch.
And you can
touch.
Make stuff spit out of pipes and, it's so good. seriously, the limitless opportunities you're going to have for griefing your mates courtesy of Mario Maker 2 is going to be, it's going to be so good.
Yeah.
And apparently this is going to make Kev buy a Switch.
Yes, he said that ages ago. But that's out on June the 28th. I'm really looking forward to it. And I love the idea that...
Yeah, I think there's a couple of bundles. There's a digital bundle, mm-hmm. which I think has a year of Nintendo Online, Switch Online bundled
which
in with it.
Which is stackable, which is nice.
Which stacks on, if you've got an existing subscription, yep, stacks on top of that. But I think there is a physical version with a stylus, I think. In a bit of a throwback to the original Mario Maker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's all kinds of additions, as is the want of video game publishers these days. But yeah, I am proper excited for it. I really, 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 really can't wait.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. And
I mean, I'm going to have to wait. Don't get me wrong.
Battles and stuff. Yeah, you got to wait till June at least.
Boo.
Everyone, any Switch owner should be excited by this. And it's a game I can play on the tube and design my levels and then bring home and play them.
Because there is proper offline stuff now.
Yeah, that's great. All right, we got points of interest.
Interest my points. Go for it.
Cool. Very quickly, we'll run through a few things. So we've got a few release dates that were announced this week. Blizzard.
Hit me with them.
Blizzard, them there of making those games and that.
Never heard of them.
Wow, you may have heard of World of Warcraft, Dan.
No.
No? Okay. Well, Warcraft Classic, that is going to be released on PC and Mac on the 27th of August. Void Bastards, which I believe I'm allowed to say because they have no dads.
Are they illegitimate children happen to be hewn out of void things?
That is correct. The Void Bastards,
okay.
that comes to PC, Xbox One, and Xbox Game Pass on May the 29th. I am quite... That's the cel-shaded first-person shooter. That looks really, really cool. And because they're sticking it on Game Pass as well, that means I'm definitely playing it. Image and Form, we've been talking about them a lot because of Steam World Quest. That's been an exclusive on the Nintendo Switch for a time period from the 25th of April. That is now going to be released on Steam on the 31st of May.
Yowza.
Yeah, not too long to wait, and it should be on other platforms following that at some point.
I'm not sure I'm going to pick it up a second time, to be honest with you, but you know, it's good. I mean, good for them. I mean, I'm surprised that... It didn't get day and date on Steam, but I suppose Nintendo gave them some money or let them play Mario Maker 2 early or something, I don't know.
Well, it's one of those games that sees it's not visually taxing, so it seems perfectly suitable on the Switch for both, you know, handheld and TV mode. And yeah, I think those suit very well to being in handheld mode. And then there is a delay this week as well. You may remember a couple of E3s ago,
right.
Ubisoft announced Skull and Bones in the same year that there was a lot of stuff shown off about Sea of Thieves, which it created the pirate simulator wars of 2018, 17, something like that.
Yeah, a cataclysmic event in the history of humanity.
At least six people talking about this at the time. Skull and Bones, that's now going to be delayed till March 2020. And along with that, Ubisoft have announced that they're going to have four AAA games releasing in 2020, which includes Ghost Recon Breakpoint. Two more have to be unveiled. I'm wondering if that's going to be at E3 as well. And they're going to be released by the end of March 2020.
Wow, splendid. What the bloody hell was that, Coleman?
What?
That noise.
What noise?
Where did that noise come from? That noise.
I said, what was that noise?
No, it was two of them was a noise, and who's that? Why is that noise made him appear?
It's a me.
I actually thought we had an audio issue. As the guy who edits these shows, I was like, what noise? What's happened?
But on the bright side, we now know how to freak you out at any moment on a podcast call. But
yeah, anything audio related, yeah, instantly.
Can you hear that? Tim, can you hear that? Yeah, I can hear that.
Yeah, there's sort of a buzzing, ticking, whooshing thing going on.
Yeah, sounds a bit like, I don't know, sounds like it's, I think Tim's topping out again.
True. If you ever want to freak me out and you have a podcast I just happen to listen to, put lots of breaths and stuff in there, because I will, if I'm listening on my PC, I will pause to fix it.
That's to be fair, back in the day when I used to edit the show,
yeah,
I was exactly the same.
Exactly.
I got rid of ums, ahs, breathing. If there was like someone had a weird issue, like, half in the middle of a word, I try and find a similar word and splice out the middle of it to try and hide. That's why I don't do it anymore.
Well, I used to go overkill with it, and now I try to make it sound a bit more natural, because when I started recording with you two, it would take me about a week to edit, so you know, I thought I'd you gotta let some things slide, you know.
Gotta let a few basically's through, basically.
No, you know you don't. Tim, apparently you had
I'm
to speak on the show.
I'm glad I could join us for this.
Back.
Yeah.
Tim's back.
So
the twat signal was fired and said, I absolutely need to be back. I have to be on the show. You can't do it without me because I've got a game I've got to talk about and stuff.
Well, there is that. Yeah, sorry.
This better be good.
I am busy. But yeah, there's a game I have been playing. I think it's semi-interesting. I should point out that part of the reason that I feel compelled to talk about it this week particularly is the fact that I did get a review code for it. So, yeah. Hence the need to try and make sure we're mentioning it.
Was that Kittens and Dogs game on the Switch that DMEB was trying to get rid of a code for?
No.
I think you'll find I put my name down for that one.
Oh, did
Cole
you?
We'll be
nice.
Talking about that next week. But
I can compare what looking after a real cat's like, if you like.
I've had cats and dogs. It's fine.
Well, unless that game involves a cat wiping its ass across the entire length of your hall after taking a grassy poop, I'm going to deem it unrealistic.
I'm going to have to actually put my name down for this now, aren't I?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Take it away, Tim.
Yeah, but also, the game I was going to talk about was Sniper Elite V2 Remastered.
Hang on, didn't this come out years and years ago? The original one?
The reason why I'm talking about it this week is because it came out, the remastered version at least, came out this week. But I don't know about you guys, it's a series that I've always thought, I might give that a try sometime, and just never actually done so.
All I know about it, I mean, I do have, like, from Humble Bundles and stuff, probably a number of iterations of it that I can actually just pick up and play. But all I know is that anatomically, it's quite accurate with the x-ray view, apart from that you can't actually see soft tissues in x-rays. But I'll let that slide just this once. But, you can see soft tissues, but not very good in the way that... Anyway, I digress.
Well, I believe we discussed this before, that this is the most Dan game that Dan has never played, because he could be the master ball sniper.
I could be. That's all I know about it. And you can shoot Hitler in his singular b***h.
Well, look, I haven't got to that bit yet. It's as I said, it's a series I've always thought I might like. The other thing that made me curious about it as well is it's a series I didn't entirely get how they could make a whole game around just being a sniper. I always wondered, if, you know, what elements they added.
Have
to
you
that
ever
to
played any online PvP game. Shooter?
Well, yeah, I know. But you know what I mean? Like, I was curious to see how that formula would work out. And it does kind of add into the mix that you've got, like, a silenced pistol for, like, stealthing your way through areas and can, like, do stealth kills to take people down. And then you've got a Thompson gun you can switch to when it all kicks off. But then the main...
What if you get two of those?
Thompson twins is what you're going for, I'm guessing.
Dual wield some Thompson twins. Hold them now.
Okay. Okay.
But I've never been glad that Tim's shown up for a podcast before.
The main weapon in the game is obviously your sniper rifle, and that's what a lot of the game, obviously, and the gameplay kind of centers around. But yeah, like, it's kind of, anyone doesn't know the story setup, it's end of World War II kind of era, and you are a sniper kind of put behind enemy lines to make sure that any of the German scientists behind the, like, V2 rockets don't fall into Russian hands that haven't already been snapped up by the Americans anyway, sort of thing. So you're there to make sure that those people don't fall into those hands. One of the first missions is literally assassinating one of those guys as he's having a meet with his Russian counterpart, basically. So yeah, like, that's the kind of the era that it's set in and what you're doing. And as I said, the gameplay, it mainly kind of focuses on that. But in this instance, in the instance of the assassinating this guy, it kind of guides you through, like, this is a few of the things you might want to do to guard yourself while you're going for your sniping shot type thing, and then take this shot and deal with the consequences of what happens, and tank turns up and you've got to deal with that and other bits and bobs.
Doesn't it you have to adjust, like, bullet drop, wind speed, these kind of things?
This is one of the interesting things I saw on the way in. Like, in terms of, like, difficulty settings, the higher difficulties, the more realistic, essentially, you know, the more realistic the bullet physics, basically. So the more you have to take that into account, and the more you have to worry about that type of thing. At the sort of base normal level that I went in at, you can it's just, you know, you have to allow some adjustment for that. And on some of the shots, it'll actually tell you, like, in one of the first shots you do, it's like, you need to aim above to allow for drop off, basically. And so, yeah, there is some of that into the gameplay. But also, one of the things I found interesting, as I was going to say, from that difficulty thing, was the fact that you could customize your difficulty. And in that, you can have, you know, a regular sort of difficulty of enemy, but with realistic bullets.
Oh, please tell me there's how many testes does Hitler have, Slider?
I haven't really figured around with the options too much. I'm not sure on that. But yeah, like, as you alluded to as well, one of the things that this game is known for is the kind of X-ray vision. And I wondered if that was going to be overused. And it does come up a fair bit if you're shooting well, basically. But, like, it's only really used...
So you haven't seen it a great deal then, too.
Well, it's only really used for, like, the main kill shot, and if you get, like, if you get a really good shot, like, if it's, like, a really
AKA
long...
a ball shot.
Well, if it's a good shot on a moving target, or if it's a long distance away, or if it's just a precise headshot or shot through the heart type thing, like a vital hit, I think they call it.
I really want to go Bon Jovi, Colin.
We were both thinking the same thing. Shot through the heart and you're to blame.
You give love a bad name, Coleman.
It kind of mixes up well. I don't know how it compares graphically to the original one, but if I didn't know it was a remastered game, I wouldn't be particularly, like, knowledgeable that this wasn't a current game type of thing, you see what I mean? Which I guess is the best compliment I can play. There is a bit of... I'm not entirely sure if it's used at this stage, because I've only played the first like few, like 3 hours or so. Basically, I'm now assaulting the like V2 base and having to get into that facility and infiltrate that facility to get further into the game, basically. But yeah, like it's, I don't know, it's a good kind of mix. There's a little bit of, and I'm not sure if it's user input or jankiness kind of thing, but there's sometimes where I'm like, I swear that's the shot that you want me to make, and I'm shooting that thing, like, with the tank, you have to blow up the, sort of, hit the fuel tank right on the back, basically. And I was like, well, I'm making that shot. I swear I'm making that shot, and not getting it. And then dying because of that, and then on my very next go, like taking it out first time, I'm like, I swear that's the same shot I was just doing.
But Tim, didn't somebody somewhere say you're going to take a fall?
No,
I'm glad Coleman got that.
Anyway, right. But generally, like I'm having a good time with it. It's kind of, you know, what I thought. I thought they'd had to add more in than just snipering, but I kind of like the way they've done it. Like
snipering.
Well, basically,
word of the year, snipering.
The way they've set up the levels that I've encountered so far, you can either like choose to go, right, this is a good place to make my stand, I'm going to start sniping people from here and we can have a battle here, and I'll also set up a tripwire behind me, so if anyone tries to sneak up on me, they're in trouble.
They'll
as well,
trip over it? Lol, what?
Well, it's an
can
explosion.
You also set up a rake with a custard pie?
Well, no, you can also set up landmines and other bits and bobs as well, but yeah, like and yeah, there's kind of like set pieces that they're guiding you through, and it's a bit scripted, but I don't mind that, and it's done to reasonably good effect. Like, I think it feels, and I don't mean this in a totally disrespectful way, but it feels like a really nicely polished mid-tier game. You know what I mean? Like that category of game we used to get kind of thing.
I mean, to be fair, Sniper Elite V2 is, God, when was it originally released? Was that early 2010?
Well, it's 360, so
yeah, it's that sort of era, isn't it? But
so like early 2010s, I think. So I mean, it's not surprising that it feels a little
2012
less 2012. There we go, a little less kind of packed with content than perhaps we've been spoiled to expect in this current day and age.
Well, the thing is, it's kind of going up against like some of the biggest boys in the industry in like a Call of Duty, and it doesn't quite measure up to that level of.
But they're very different games, though.
And not on the Switch.
No, well, yeah, and I've been playing on the PS4, just for the record.
Oh, okay, sorry.
But there is a Switch version available. I don't know, like, it's. I don't mean that in a totally disrespectful way. I mean, I have a great admiration, respect, and kind of miss that kind of mid-tier game. And this is a £30 price point as well, which I think makes it an easier recommendation generally. As I said, like, from what I've played of the game, I've enjoyed it, and enjoyed it enough that I'll be going back to it and playing more of it.
And how many other games allow you to shoot someone through the wedding veg with a 50 cal bullet?
Well, I have to say, like, it depends on the distance you're shooting people from, but that would be a very difficult shot at distance. Like, getting, like, you know, a good kill shot when someone's
50
like
cal bullets do a lot of damage. You wouldn't even really have to be anywhere
near
the
testes.
Well, that's
the thing. You can just like, and it'll tell you if you've just incapacitated someone. And you can use that as a tactic as well, because an incapacitated target will call for another target to try and help them, and they'll try and like pick them up and carry them off, and you can use that to lure someone else out and take them out as well, basically. But yeah, like it's been some interesting tactics, and there's some like vehicles you can blow up and other bits and bobs in the environment that you can make use of.
You like set traps? Can you like wander around and recce? And
well, that's the thing, like it's a bit difficult when you're going through the game for your first time, and you don't get many of those, like that tripwire. Like, you have like one per level, and like a landmine, and you might pick up like a few grenades. But generally speaking, you almost need to learn, okay, this is the point where I need to make my stand, kind of thing. And those guys are going to sneak up on me, so I'll booby trap this door so that they can't do that, kind of thing. And like, it's something, you know, you can learn on the way, but it's not something you can just like go around and make use of. it's something that you kind of go, oh right, this is a place I should do it more than, and you could perhaps preemptively make that decision of, oh, this is a good place to do that because I can booby trap both of those doors and snipe from this window, sort of thing. But yeah, like it's something that generally you're like, okay, no, I got killed there a bit too easily. If I'm going to make my stand here, this is the place to booby trap those areas, sort of thing. But yeah, like as I said, it takes you through a few like set pieces of what you're doing and stuff like that, and that's been fairly enjoyable. And yeah, like it is what it says on the tin a little bit, with, you know, Sniper Elite, you're going to be doing some sniping, and if you don't like that at all, then maybe whatever. But yeah, it adds like, you know, the kind of slow-mo effect when you are sniping, and gives you like, you can hold your breath, which kind of focuses your aim and gives you a little red dot that you can use to help aim. And so, yeah, like it kind of, you know,
or
it does
just entertain passing cats with.
It does its main thing. It does its main thing well, and when
that would be an amazing bit of metagamage if that was actually.
Well,
a
if
thing.
It was a German soldier acting as a cat, if it was like,
well,
red
this
dot,
is true,
start like pouncing on it and stuff, that'd be really funny.
But yeah, as I said, like you've probably got to, you know, have some interest in it anyway. But it's a game series that I never tried, and I'm kind of glad that I've had to. The opportunity to do so, and we'll be playing a bit more in the future. So yeah,
good. That's jolly good. Well, good for you, Timothy. Good for you.
And what about you guys? Anything been playing this week?
I have dabbled very briefly in Dauntless, which is kind of a free to play multiplayer Monster Hunter wannabe.
Monster Hunter, you say?
Yep, exactly. The Munter Hunters. But that so far, the funniest thing about this game is that it's actually the player harbour is a town called Ramsgate. Yeah, so basically, you and a bunch of heroic people are setting out from Ramsgate to save the world. Planet Thanet is in full swing, and yes, that's the only place. That's where the cradle of humanity is based out of. Haven't played too much of it. It is very, 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 very kind of tip of the hat to Monster Hunter. Obviously has quite a bit of almost kind of Neverwinter stuff going on with it as well. All kinds of people who you can, you know, buy all kinds of things from with real money, and I think really the extra awesome bits are by and large locked behind a paywall, but that's how the game makes its money. The little bit I've played, kind of now it's officially out, compared to the kind of the early beta stuff I played a good year or so ago, it's a bit more polished, I would say, but hasn't really come on in terms of there's only a relatively limited number of weapons and monsters to hunt, and there's not much. It's not like in Monster Hunter World where you've got these kind of real labyrinthine environments and lots of other littler monsters who can give you a jip. It is literally
jip, you say.
Yeah,
you
jip.
Like some jip.
Here's a floating islandy thing, and there's a monster on it, and that's about as far as it goes. So I don't know what kind of legs it's going to have on it. Either two or four, being a monster, before you say that, Carmen. But yeah, I suppose it's a fun game if you've got some mates. You can download it directly from the Dauntless devs webpage, or surprise surprise, it's on the Epic Store. So I will report back next week if I can with more details, but I just like to say it is out. It's coming out on PC, PS4 and Xbox One in the next couple of days, but apparently a Switch version will also happen at some point too.
Of course. Would you like an update on the Days Gone?
That would thrill me to bits.
How has Days Gone?
Days Gone is still going great. I flipping love this game. But I just wanted to talk about, I spoke about the hordes last week because I encountered one for the first time, and it just like zombies running out of every which way direction and just barreling over you. This time,
on brand, like it.
Yes. Also red barrels in the game, lots of them.
On brand, love it.
And they are explosive. So there was a moment where I had to go and scavenge some herbs from like a lakeside. And
As you do.
And I'd been to that area before because that's where the horde got me. They all just come running out of a train cart and grab you. And
so Rush Hour, I hate basically, is what it is.
And by the time I got to Zerix, so the zombies, the freakers, whatever you want to call them, they come out
don't
night
say the Z
than,
word, Colin.
Yeah, they come out at night more than they come out in the day. So I came to the area in the daytime, and I got like one herb, and then they all it started getting darker. And as it got darker, they all started migrating towards the lake where I was. And I found like a treehouse type area. You climb up a ladder and there's a platform, and I was just kind of hiding up there and waiting for them to go. And then I thought, hold on, I'm a lot more powerful than the last time I encountered a horde. I reckon I could do some damage.
Did they still kick your ass?
No. After a long kind of picking things off, trying to attract them over, because I had a couple of silenced weapons, but silencers only last so long. So I could pick a few off, and then eventually they all started hearing gunshots and coming towards me, and I could throw like Molotov cocktails down and pipe bombs and stuff, until I was literally just down to a handgun and still a good 10, 12 of them circling around me. And I was being very careful to make sure I could headshot pick them off one at a time, and was successful. And then nice. I climbed down the ladder and was just surrounded by a pile of corpses just everywhere. And
nice.
When you kill these things, you're meant to collect their ears. It's just a pickup item. And you go and you can, if you go back to a camp, you can exchange that for money. And so I went around collecting my bounties. And then all of a sudden, I just hear a howling noise. And as I turn, three wolves jump me. And kill
right.
me.
Right.
All I had, I tried to fight back. All I had was a hunting knife left over because I'd used up all my ammunition.
So
on,
a good
on
day
the horde.
To be a Coleman, basically.
So I managed to kill a massive horde of zombies. Was by no means the biggest horde in the game as well. Managed to kill a massive horde of zombies. Was really, really impressed with myself. And then just got mauled to death by wolves.
Nature caught up with you.
So, yeah.
Oh, dear.
Once
natural
again,
selection
my third
at work.
Running, I will say... Days Gone's a really good game. It's the perfect Coleman game.
That is good to know. I have a question.
Yes.
I'm really torn.
Because you're all out of faith. This is how you feel. In the cold, no. chain
oh,
line,
oh,
naked
oh,
on the
Natalie
floor.
Imbruglia. Boom. Boom.
Just imbruglied me.
You've been imbruglied, son.
You've been imbruglied.
Yeah, like no, but yeah, I'm really torn on Rage 2. Like, I'm quite interested in buying it. The gunplay, by all accounts, sounds good. Some people really like it. Some people don't.
I found myself in a similar spot, Tim. I have decided I'm gonna wait for it. Doubtless going on sale.
Yeah, see, that's my concern. Like, in 1 to 2 weeks' time, I will get that same game at much less money. No,
because it sounds. All right.
Yeah.
But I've heard it described as it's all right. Not this is the most amazing thing. This is all right.
And I kind of like the people that are making it. I know that's not always the best reason yeah. to buy a game. But, you know, it's made by a tin.
I personally, from what I've heard and from what I've seen and what I've heard people talking about it, I'm probably going
to
wait.
That's the thing. I'm prepared to buy it. Not currently at full price, I think, is the same kind of thing I'm settling into. But I kind of want to buy it for the show so we can talk about it. That's why I was offering up there and getting your advice from you guys, seeing one of you guys are going to buy it. I don't know. I'm still tempted.
I'm kind of in the same boat where it's I'm not excited enough to pay full price for it. But if and I was really waiting for the reviews because if there was some amazing review out there to go, you know, even just an inkling to go, you're really going to like this game, Coleman. You should go pick this up.
But you're hoping for personalized reviews again, weren't
yeah,
you?
I saw a couple
of reviews that did seem to suggest that to me.
Okay,
I haven't seen anyone talk about the card game. I don't know if that's resurfaced.
I didn't see anything that like spoke out to me sort of thing. However, we did get sent a PR email, and I'll happily read this out because like the event's done now, so there's no mm-hmm. real free advertisement we're giving here. But there's a barber called Huckle the Buckle in Old Street.
Oh yeah, I saw them doing that.
On the Wednesday, they were if you went between I think it was 12 and 6, you and got like a fade or a mohawk or something cut there, you got a free haircut basically from a really nice barber's, but also you got a free copy of Rage 2. And I was very upset by this because if you don't know listeners by now, I'm a bald man, and that meant I could not take part in this promo.
Or that could have been the challenge mode for them.
Yeah, just turn up and go, go on, draw it on.
Just dyed the middle of your head pink.
Bloody baldist, that is.
Spray I'll paint my head.
I'll bloody imbruglia you if you're not careful.
I wasn't really busy and had time to pay more attention. I may have been able to go to that. That would have been funny. I would have got a mohawk. Why not? Why the hell?
Your own boss, mate. You can do what you want.
I think out of the three of us, you're the one who would probably suit a fade more than the rest of us.
Yeah.
And you could have had like BRB emblazoned in the back of your head or something.
Oh, yeah.
Well, sounds like something for Extra Life, Tim. Watch out for that bus you nearly got thrown under. So if you don't get BRB shaved into the back of your head, you love cancer, by the way. All right?
Wow.
Just saying.
At least mine is children.
Yeah. So that's what you've got to do, Tim. I'm sure listeners will agree. Or you have to release an entire calendar as Mr. November, and every month month in the calendar is November.
I mean, the dates are right for each month, but each one says November.
Just November every month.
Yeah.
That would be the world's worst calendar.
Choose your poison, Tim. Choose your poison.
In so many ways.
I like
choose
the idea
your poison,
that,
mate.
No, it's just a really mundane character. It's like Mr. November is eating some beans. Mr. November is going to the shops. Like there's
Mr.
nothing
November
sexual
says,
about this whatsoever.
Mr. November says, I'd give it a minute if I were you.
Mr. November is nodding off on the sofa playing the Switch.
That's probably nearer the truth.
I suppose that's it. We've all played what we've played. Tim's played what he's played. I've played what I've played. Colin's played what he's played. And we just talked about it.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Except for one other thing, though. Like, before I was playing Sniper Elite, the one thing I did play a little bit of this week, oddly enough, Mario Odyssey. I picked up to play it in VR, and I still haven't played any of it in VR. I've just been like messing around with it a bit. Haven't had that much gaming time this week.
Great game.
Anyway, but yeah.
Great game.
Still
not so sure
really
about
good.
The VR.
Really good about the second time around. I still haven't bothered to play it in VR yet. I'll report back when I have.
Good. Well, after we want videos of you, frankly, shoving your head into a cereal box in the approximation of VR that is Labo VR.
Labo. Stop calling it that.
Labo.
Oh, dear. Right, there's another word I'd like to hear your opinions of pronunciation of.
Okay.
This week's Tabletop Tuesday game.
Oh, okay, all right.
I've gone back to a classic. One of my childhood favourites, in fact. It's very rare that I do that. I've made an exception for this one because it's a classic game that we've never had an example of at the bar, and I think it's a good one. Now, anyone that doesn't know, each and every Tuesday we do an event called Tabletop Tuesday at the Loading Bar in Dalston. Each and every week we have a different feature game. If you play that feature game that evening, you have a chance of winning a copy of the game. And this Tuesday, the 21st of May, you can win a copy of... Gentlemen, your pronunciations?
Stratego.
Stratego.
See? That's one of the dilemmas. I don't know which one of those is correct.
I've only ever heard it pronounced on Family Guy by Adam West, and I choose his opinion over everyone else.
But see, that's probably an American opinion. Mm. Though,
but
and that
it's Adam West, and he was Batman, and who are you to disagree with Batman?
Do we need to remind you what Adam West was quite partial to doing with Robin in real life?
He was Batman. Please do not ruin my heroes for me.
Okay.
Thank you.
You still haven't heard about Jimmy Savile then?
He wasn't my hero.
80s heroes have done enough to ruin themselves already. But yeah, this is an 80s hero that hasn't ruined itself. But yeah, do you remember the game from back
wasn't
in the
it
day?
Released in the 70s?
Possibly.
I think it was actually released in the 40s.
I was just trying to bring us back to the point, Dan.
Right.
But yeah, classic game. I assume you guys played this when you were young?
Never.
No? Never?
I think I did.
Okay. Well, it's a bit like a kind of a variant of chess almost, where you don't get to see the class of the your opponent's pieces, and you can set them up differently, and you're kind of defending a king, as it were, and like trying to stop your opponents from finding that person and uncovering them, while not knowing what the opposition you're coming up against until you reveal them and turn them around, and then you've got to kind of go from memory of where they are, basically. A classic game. I think it's a good one to have in the bar, and as I said, one we've never had before. You can also win yourself a copy just by turning up and giving it a go on the evening as well. If you need more details, there are more details on the top left-hand corner of bigredbarrel.com, and you can come and join over 1,750 people in our meetup group and search for Tabletop Tuesday on Meetup.
That's Tabletop Tuesday on the 21st of May at the Dalston Bar. In the loading bar in Dalston, London, for a game of Stratego.
Didn't they hold a Borderlands event that we weren't invited to recently?
Yeah, we weren't invited.
We were unofficially invited.
You were.
You
were.
Okay. Well, you guys don't live in London or anywhere near the bar, but yeah, well, look, we were.
It's the thought that counts, Timothy.
Greater London, thank you.
I live in Slough.
Tim, related to Stratego, but related to tabletop events and stuff. I was at your flat the other day. Did I spot HeroQuest?
Yes.
Nice. I got to send you some videos. Sorry, that I saw that and that like really piqued my interest.
I have my original old school copy of HeroQuest. I still have my actual copy of Stratego. I have a repurchased or more recently purchased copy of Space Hulk as well. Just out of interest.
Oh, nice. Okay. Oh, Space Hulk! I remember that. That was awesome. Anyway, we digress.
Yes. Before we get to shout outs and getting the hell out of here, I did want to just say there was an issue with the podcast feed last week. Some reason, there was a caching issue with the site that went, hey, you know what would be really funny? I'm going to just send out last week's podcast twice. So it wasn't audio got uploaded to the wrong thing. It was.
Good news is that podcast was cracking.
Yeah. I did like that one. So yeah, sadly, people tuned in for the return. Well, they didn't tune in because we're not on the radio. But people downloaded for the return of Mr. November, and they got me and Dan again moaning about Sonic the Hedgehog. I mean, Dan moaning about Sonic the Hedgehog. Me, praising
that. Well, that was all glory. Bloody nightmare fuel, and I'm not going to. No.
He's still haunted.
Jesus, I'm having a flashback.
But anyway, it was weird for about a day and a half, I think. So it did get fixed. It took a while for the caching to work again and the feed to ping and all this kind of stuff. Took a bit longer for iTunes, I think, because Apple. But that's all sorted now. So if you skipped last week because you went, hey, this is the wrong week and left it, that's all back to normal if you did want to catch up.
If you say a bad word against our server, I will be very upset.
I haven't said anything.
I'll be very upset, poor server.
I haven't said anything.
Poor server.
It's been through a lot.
It has been through a lot.
It's reaching the end of its days. It needs putting down.
Exactly. It's been through a lot. Sadly, not distribution upgrades, but there we go. Right, are we done?
Yeah, go on.
Excellent. So,
we've got to say shout outs. No, we didn't do shout outs.
That's what I was going to do.
Okay.
And I want you to pronounce this first one, Tim.
Dan, could you do the shout outs?
All right, I'll do the shout out. All right. Shout outs. Shout out the first.
Maybe we should do the shout outs, though.
From Facebook. Yeah.
Okay. Twitter the second. Damian Cooper.
Go on then.
Jan Zantinga.
Pronounce it properly.
In it, come on.
We've discussed this before. I haven't done this in the news.
Jansentinger.
It's actually Jansentinger.
Oh, sorry, Jesus.
Nelly and Hunter.
Yes. All of those people.
And the Nelly Hunter.
Don't they have people trying to stop poachers doing that nowadays?
Probably.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Thank you all.
Yes, thank you, one and all. Make sure you point your internet things to www.bigredbarrel.com or twitter.com/bigredbarrel or facebook.com/bigredbarrel or anything.com/internet/bigredbarrel.
Good.
We done?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great.
Great.
Great. So, well, thank you for listening, since we are all done. And you need listen no more, at least this episode. We hope you return next week for more of this nonsense. We'll be coming right back at you through your tumescent intertubes.
Wow, tumescent intertubes.
Yep.
Sounds like something you need to see a doctor for.
Tim, we'll tell you what the word tumescent means after the show's ended. Excellent. Great. Anyway, I have been Dan.
I might have been here almost sometime for a bit of it.
I've been Coleman.
I was really expecting you to say I might have been tumescent.
I might have been tumescent into tubes. I have been Coleman, slaughterer of many zombies.
Right, well done.
Victim
you.
Don't to say the Z word, Coleman.
Freakers.
Anyway, thank you for listening, and until next time, dear listeners, toodle-bye.
You and your ears are quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.